I want to thank the ladies here of Circleville to invite me to do this today. Circleville was my home church for about a good 10 years, I would say. But since the spring, we've been worshiping at the Circle, or at the Waverly Church of Christ. And today I have with me Kelsey Geiler. She's our new minister, Zach Geiler's wife. Kelsey, you want to stand? Because I want to make sure everybody gets to meet you today. She comes from Kentucky, so we won't hold that against her, but she's a Buckeye now, so. I have to say that when Melody approached me to speak today, I was a lot like Moses. In fact, I said to her, "Who am I? I know I am not eloquent, and I certainly am slow of tongue for those who know me very well, but I'm here to do my best, and I'm honored to do so, and I've been praying for months for guidance and direction on what to say. I do have to warn you, though, that I listened to my dad for years speak, and he was what you called back then the fire and brimstone type preacher. So any of those sitting in the front row might want to move back a seat or two. Just warning you. Anyway, I'm going to start with a story this morning. I'm going to put this right here in hopes that I don't knock it over. And we're going to talk about a little gal named Precious. So bear with me while I read you the story, and probably as I read the rest of my presentation too. So light represents life. We're going to say that this light represents a girl who likes her friends and family. Well, most of her family. She loves going to the movies, shopping with her friends, sports, and talking and texting on the phone. She likes the fact that she can do all these things on her own. Her family trusts her, and she works to keep that trust. She's always on time, she does what she says she's going to do, and has lots of freedoms. She's already signed up for driver's ed. Precious got a job working weekends at the local pizza place. She was making more and more money from tips, and she felt really good about life. Our girl Precious did not know Joe, but most everybody else knew Joe. They called him the Joker. As soon as Joe saw Precious, he turned on the charm, and she really fell for it because he was so nice. He promised he would take her to nice places and take care of her. He showed her the money that he had in his pocket. He dressed nice and was very outgoing. Precious was very excited to tell her parents about this nice guy she met. Joe came to the pizza shop more often. And when they started going together, he insisted that they pay for their own meal. Precious thought, "This is cool. I have my own money." It wasn't long, and he took her to his apartment. Things changed after that. He constantly wanted her with him. And when she wasn't, he was always calling or texting her. He seemed jealous when she worked and was always asking her to get off early. Precious changed, too. She started telling her parents things that weren't true. She also noticed that Joe was upset even if she just talked about her friends. When she was home, Joe insisted that she sleep with her cell phone on her chest in case he would call or text her. Precious felt she couldn't talk to her friends without Joe getting angry. Her light was starting to fade. She also noticed that Joe did not like it when she spent time with her family. She invited him over, but he always had excuses as to why he couldn't come. Precious would try to keep Joe happy. But whatever she tried, nothing ever seemed to work. She started losing weight. She lost her friends. She lost interest in many of the things that she enjoyed. She was even scared of Joe's fits of anger. Precious started to be being more careful around Joe so she would not make him angry. Summer came, and Joe convinced Precious to go on vacation with him, and they left in the middle of the night. While they were away, Joe got even abusive. Meanwhile, Precious's parents called the police. Living a life of isolation is not good for anyone. And you can just imagine what Precious's life looked like. Unfortunately, this is a true story about Precious. Her light not only faded, but eventually went out. Now, many of you might think, why would you read such a dark story on a day that we're supposed to be talking about light? It does seem kind of strange, doesn't it? I actually have two reasons, though. First, it's a good reminder to the young women in this audience that the devil is alive and well. And even though, you know, we might spend a lot of time attending church services and devotionals, youth camps, things like that, which are all very, very helpful in combating Satan and his demons, these unfortunate circumstances can and do happen. So we all must be praying constantly for God's protection and guidance, regardless of our age. But the main reason I wanted to share this story is because we often don't recognize that our lights are slowly fading due to the smallest seed of sinful influence that we permit in our lives. Remember in Galatians 5:9, Paul warned the Galatians that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It just takes a little sin to affect our hearts and the hearts of others. Sin of all shapes and sizes does not go unnoticed by God. In Revelations 2, God told the church at Pergamos to repent because there were those in their midst who were practicing immorality while others were upholding false doctrine, which God stated he hates. Satan and false doctrine can easily creep into our churches and into our lives. So we do need to examine ourselves often, as God instructed us to do, and take notice of even the small, seemingly insignificant sins. So for a minute, let's think back about Joe in the story. For today, we're going to think of him as Satan. He's ever so smooth, charming, controlling, sneaky, and demanding. Just like Satan, he seeks us out. Joe sought out Precious. Something about her was attractive to him. Precious was at one time full of life. She was naive, young, gullible, yet she let her guard down. Like us, at times, Precious chose to believe the best, despite all the many warning signals. She didn't see the danger ahead of her, and I think it's apparent that Precious didn't take the time to examine her heart and the situation, and she slowly, unknowingly opened herself up to eventual heartbreak. How many of you have fallen for a Joe? And I don't mean a man that deceived you necessarily. It could basically be anything that slowly and surely draws you away from your family, friends, and most importantly, God and his influence over your life. Sometimes we deceive our own selves, saying, I only listen to good music. I read wholesome books. I watch decent TV movies. I'm good. I'm pleasing to God. It's true that these things are all great practices. However, we must never forget 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. To me, that means he's relentless. He knows our weaknesses, will stop at nothing, use anyone, anything he can to deceive us and steer us away from God and destroy our faith. Satan's real good at attacking our thoughts as well. He'll work to make us feel less than, to feel bad about ourselves or bad about others. He lies to us. He wants that bitter root to spring up, take hold to divide us, Hebrews 12:15, to tear each other down, to steal our unity and our love, thus hindering the work and the light of the church. Satan is never so happy than when we're biting and devouring each other, Galatians 5:15. Another thing that he loves and takes joy in is reminding us of all our past mistakes and failures. Yes, not just once, but over and over again. Satan also wants you to forget a few things. He wants us to forget that God loved us and gave his only son for us. He wants us to forget that we have more value than many sparrows and that even the hairs on our head are numbered, Matthew 10. He wants those who have accepted him and been baptized to forget he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that if God remembers our sins no more, neither should we. 1 John 1:9. He wants us to forget that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, Romans 8, and that God has told us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. Ladies, I think it's safe to say that we have our very own cheerleader every day. We are so dearly beloved by God. God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. If we allow Satan to dim our lights by convincing us that we are unworthy of God's love or even unloved by our own sisters in Christ, then our light will grow dim and dimmer with each passing day. It will no longer shine brightly for Jesus. If there's ever a place we should feel overwhelmingly loved, it's among our church family, where God's light is abundant. Jesus says, "I am a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." John 12:46. In Colossians 1:13, we learn that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All we have to do is understand the power that he has bestowed to us. And like Joshua of old, we must choose this day whom we will serve. You'll notice that the scriptures say choose daily. Even though it was possible for God, who created the world, to make Adam and Eve robots, he didn't want robots. He wanted them to have free will. He wanted them to be able to love him enough to choose him. Just like us, he wants us to daily choose, to seek him in order to fight the spiritual warfare and the darts that come our way. So I asked myself when I was preparing this presentation, what does being the light of the world really look like? How do we know we're shining? The first verses that popped into my mind were the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians. Choosing daily to walk in love is a constant decision. Abounding in joy, this certainly comes easier for some than others. Seeking and pursuing peace, certainly not always easy, but well worth it. Making a choice to be long-suffering with others despite their faults, shortcomings, and weaknesses. Deliberately knowing kindness or showing kindness to one another until it hurts, which sometimes means turning the other cheek and remembering that vengeance belongs to God, not us. Goodness. Doesn't this world need to see goodness like never before? Stepping out of your comfort zone to do something totally unexpected for someone else? Faithfulness. Life has become so busy, hasn't it? My dad used to say the TV was Satan's tool. Well, today, we have not only the TV, but we've got our iPads and our smartphones. We've got all kinds of nice little gadgets, don't we? You name it. Just about anything to distract us away from Jesus and our faithful service to him. Gentleness. This world will smack gentleness right out of you if you let it, won't it? Just another reason to practice it. And self-control. In my humble opinion, this one is the hardest to obtain. Yet without it, it's difficult to practice all the others. Another way to let our light shine is given to us in Philippians 4. Paul reminds us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Serving God is not to be burdensome. Doesn't this world need to see us praising and rejoicing in our Lord? He also says, let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation? Seriously? Who practices moderation these days? Practicing moderation in all things takes self-control, and certainly a good way to stand out in the crowd. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Let others know that we don't make decisions on our own, but we pray for direction. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I believe that peace and those living in peace is visible by the eye. Call me crazy, but I think I can recognize peace when I see it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Say it with me. Think on these things. How do we let our light shine? We think on these things. Another daily decision, which doesn't come naturally, yet it's one that only you and I can make. Doing so, however, will cause our lights to shine in this dark world. It will prevent us from stumbling and falling prey to the many Joes of this world. It will guard our heart and support us in our walk towards heaven. Today, our world is in a frenzy, is it not? We cannot afford to waste our time getting so intoxicated with the news, political speeches, crime, ISIS, and all those other things that we would live a life of fear and bondage. We have no need for fear, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. We must keep our eyes fixated on Jesus, keeping our focus on his promises, and never be ashamed of the truth and the light. Be ever so happy that you are not walking in darkness like so many in this world. We know that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, John 3:19. But God says in Psalms 150:6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him while there is still time. Praise him so others can see the light. Turn to him before he returns to claim his own. Let me ask you this. If we choose to allow ourselves to be beaten down, fearful, hateful, unforgiving, jealous, or whatever ungodly characteristic you choose, what do your actions do for the unbeliever? How can they feel any differently about you than they do those in the world? Bottom line, they won't be able to see the light. There's a song that goes like this. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet. He has no tongue. He has no help but us. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. So ladies, he's counting on us, you and I, to overcome this world. So let me ask you, how are you doing running this race that God has set before us? Do we unknowingly trip the person running alongside of us? Do we throw a big boulder of sin in their path? Are we so full of pride and self-righteousness that there's no way they can catch up? Or could it be that we push them out of the way by our actions, shouting at them, look at me go! I'm so much prettier, faster, smarter, better, whatever. You fill in that blank. If so, we are in essence saying to them, your robe just isn't quite as white as mine. And your soul is unimportant. God wishes all men to be saved. He loved and died for all. No one is more worthy than another. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need to remind ourselves that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, James 4:6. These types of thoughts and actions do nothing to brighten the corner where we are. We are his chosen people. We are commanded to love as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. Our goal should be to humbly shine our lights so others can see God working through us, giving him all the glory, all the time, and making him the object of our affection. It's true that this is a tough job. It's not always easy. I know. I've stepped on some toes. I've squashed some spirits. I've hurt some feelings along the way, and I too have been hurt. And I would guess it's safe to say that so have you. At least some of you. But isn't it great that we have a Savior? We have a freedom that can only be found in Christ. Let's take the time to examine ourselves, to identify those willful sins and repent of them daily so that we can have the confidence we need to go into this sinful world, unashamed and knowing that we are forgiven. If you've been buried with him in baptism into his blood, you are forgiven. Paul said, we must forget those things which are behind and press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure about you, but I need my sisters in Christ to cheer me on as I journey through this life, just as bad as they need me. I need them to love me in spite of my weirdness and my shortcomings at times. I need them to be kind, forgiving, loving, and encouraging. I know that's what each of you want as well. You see, I want to be a beam in the night, the city on a hill. I want to be that selfless person that lets all others before myself. I want to be that person that runs and doesn't grow weary. I want to be that servant who hears, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I most certainly have much work to do. But like you, I'm still busy casting out my own personal demons here on earth, often fighting the urge to look back rather than pressing forward. Yet I'm thankful for each day to start anew, to do a better job at shining my light. In closing, one of my favorite children's books is called Hermie. And maybe some of you have seen this story by Max Licato. I love reading this to my grandchildren. Many of you know this story, but for those who don't, Hermie and Wormy are caterpillars, and they're hanging upside down as cocoons, waiting to become beautiful butterflies. And as the story goes, Hermie happens to become a butterfly before his friend Wormy. And Wormy, upon his transformation, says, "Wow, is that you, Hermie? Yes, it's me. God was not finished with me yet, Wormy, and he's not finished with you either." So just like Hermie and Wormy, God's still working on us. A few years back, I would ask a certain cancer volunteer how he was doing, and his reply was always, "Well, I'm still on this side of the turf." Well, we too are still on this side of the turf. God's not finished with us quite yet. So ladies, we still have time. Let's work diligently to love each other, to build up the church, and to finish the work that God set before us. Let's not forget the reward he has waiting. Let's cast out all our care onto him, remembering just how much he loves and cares for us. Let's remember that his son has set us free, and we are free indeed. Let's all have the courage to shine. Who knows? Your very own sparkly glimmer may cause others to sparkle too. Thank you.